Hello and welcome to the Poor Ever Podcast, episode 115. I'm your host, Brad. This is my co-host, Eric.
How's it going?
And we're doing a very chill episode today. It has been a very rough couple weeks for our poor editor, and he begged us to do a simple, normal episode this week. So that's what you're getting.
In before it's a 3 hour.
So a bunch of you last week seemed to support the idea, and I wanted to do it anyway. So this is us discussing the rumors for Total War 40K and then spitballing for who knows how long about how it will probably play out. So buckle up and listen to two Total War nerds who became 40K nerds tell you about a non-existent game that should be coming out in about 2 years.
Sounds good.
All right, so we don't have any secret back-end connections. We're not cool. But what we do have, the Legend of Total War video that he put up on April 4th. In it, he discussed the future for the Warhammer Total War DLCs and then leaked his insider info that he heard about the upcoming Total War games, including 40K. To give you the gist of it, but you should go watch the video because he does it more in detail and it's the direct quotes rather than me paraphrasing stuff. In it, Legend went through and talked specifically about how there is approximately 1.5, 2 years or so, whatever, left of DLC for Total War Warhammer 3. After that, the next major Total War game will be Total War Warhammer 40K, which will be using a new engine that is being developed for it and the historical game that is next that will come out either before or after it, which is going to be Total War World War 1.
And again, these are all like leaks?
These are leaks, rumors, insider info, things that are not always reliable, as he says in his own video. All of this could change if management cancels a project.
These are pretty reliable from what we've seen from Legend of Total War. He usually doesn't just like bullshit. But that doesn't mean that internally things won't change. We're talking years out still. And the Total War team has gone through some rough times in the recent history.
Creative Assembly in general has had quite a couple years.
Yeah, there's some internal management shakeups of like a bunch of people got fired probably.
And the current state of Total War Warhammer 3 is on the up again. Yeah. There was a very bad moment a few months ago. They did a big proper apology, tried their best to fix things, and are in a more positive direction right now.
Yeah, there is some hope in the 40K game actually coming out in a couple years and like not being just a cash grab piece of shit.
Yeah, so for those who don't know, we should run through what the Total War series is.
Yeah.
So Total War is basically a strategy game placed in whatever part of the world or entire world that it gets slapped down for in a certain era, and you play as a nation or whatever.
Yeah, there's been a couple eras of the Total War. It, you know, originally started with a lot of historical, you know, you've got Shogun, medieval, Rome, Napoleon, and then the Total War Warhammer has moved things into more fiction and spells and stuff like that.
And then we had Three Kingdoms, which was like the mid-ground.
Right.
And then we don't talk about Troy or the Saga games, but...
We don't.
Anyway, basically it's a overworld strategy game where you move around like, you know, a piece on a board, manage your resources, build stuff up.
Kind of like Civilization style, but like different. You know, it's the macro level. You know, you build armies, you build buildings, you have resources, you have trade, you have diplomacy.
Yeah, on the high level, it's more like Civ, and then when you do battle, instead of just being like an automated little click on the other guy and do damage, you start basically what is an RTS battle.
That is the two sections of Total War games. There's the campaign, which is like high level stuff, and then there's the battles, and those can be fought at a more micro level where like you're controlling like groups of units to like move around and try and flank and all that kind of stuff. It's great fun, but they are distinct gameplays that that are different.
So to set this up with something that should be familiar to our audience, at least at a base level, we can talk about Total War Warhammer for some examples. If you already know how Total War works and Total War Warhammer in general and don't need the history lesson, feel free to jump ahead. There will be a timestamp to pass the next section if you're only interested in the 40K talk, but we need to catch up people who probably don't know how Total War Warhammer functions.
So I guess like real quick before we get really into it, some quick history on the Total War Warhammer. There's a 1, 2, and 3. The first one came out in 2016, followed pretty quickly by 2 in 2017, and then 3 in 2022. So in between all of those, there's also been free and paid DLC for each of them.
Yes, and by the end of it all, these games stack up. So if you own everything in 1 and then you buy 2, you own everything that's in 1 in 2, and then 3 the same way.
Which is nice.
It makes it feel less bad when a sequel comes out to a game that you've invested in, and it's like, oh wait, I get to keep all my stuff from the previous DLCs that I bought.
Yeah.
And it becomes something grand that, like, nothing else has pulled off. As much as the state of Total War Warhammer 3 has had some ups and downs with balance and general game design stuff in the earlier iterations, nothing comes close to the amount of pure content in a strategy game.
It was one of those, like, when it was being announced, they kept talking about, like, how big of a vision this actually was, and it was like, yeah, all right, I get it. Like, 1 to 2 was a pretty big jump. It was a solid increase. But like 2 to 3 was another massive leap of content and mechanics and ideas on how to actually implement certain things. Very cool. And following 1 to 2 to 3 has been honestly a saga that really does impress me.
I started in the DLC era of 2, and I still have put in, I think, 400 hours in 2 and then another 100 and something in 3. And there was like a solid year where I didn't touch 3 because it had a really rough start.
It still has some problems, but generally it's in a solid spot.
Now it's great. I would recommend the current state.
I would as well. I still am not a fan of settlement battles, but that's just honestly kind of Total War. They're tough and they aren't perfect, but that's a bit too granular for the moment.
So from a Total War Warhammer standpoint, they started off the first game with 4 major factions, each of those having 2 legendary lords you could pick between. So essentially 8 factions total, but only 4 pools of unit types you could say.
Right, where the legendary lord being the leader, and they have their own like flavor to the faction, where it's like, oh, you'll be more interested in the ranged units, or you'll be more interested in grots, or, you know, whatever it is, there's a unique spin, but the legendary lords for the Empire are still playing the Empire.
Yeah, so it started out with the Empire dwarfs.
Thanks for that.
You gotta make sure there's an F. Greenskins and vampire counts. It was a nice base roster to start with. They set it just in, basically, because anyone who knows Old World, it's on Fantasy Earth, but it was set all in Europe around the Empire's domain, which is humanity, for those who don't know Old World stuff. Well, one piece of humanity. There's a couple others. Then you get into DLCs. They had the very controversial Day 1 DLC of Warriors of Chaos as the 5th faction, so you could pay more or do a pre-order to get an extra faction. It also wasn't a great quality when it launched.
No, it was pretty garbage, honestly. It was one of the ones that, like, when I was playing Total War 1, it was like, this was tacked on and you guys didn't really finish it.
And then they added Beastmen and Wood Elves, which is where they tried something different early on. Those were their own campaigns on their own map that wasn't the main map.
Very unique mechanics and goals. You know, your win condition was different. Your play style was way different than anything else. Wood Elves is such a weird thing to deal with. Those were interesting as paid ones because they were so unique.
You definitely saw them prototyping how they wanted this to work. And then they added Norska, which was like, you could play it in 1, but I think it was the pre-order bonus for 2. I'm gray on this. It's before I started.
It was meant for 2. It didn't really work in 1, and like, it was only fine in 2. Just because the way the Norska campaign worked just didn't really fit with the way the overall map was set up, because you had like the core Europe section, and like, Norska was this weird offshoot shoot. So it was fine. It was definitely a nice thing that it carried over into 2. Like, if you had paid for it for 1 and it wasn't carried into 2, that would have been unacceptable. But you forgot the best of the free DLC, Britonia.
Oh, right. Britonia came out for free in addition.
Hell yeah, dude. Let's go.
So you got a whole free extra faction if you want to play the Franch.
The best faction, clearly.
So Baguette enjoyers rejoiced. Then we got to Total War Warhammer 2, which started off strong with High Elves, Dark Elves, Lizardmen, and Skaven. It expanded the map so that now you had Total War's equivalent of North America, South America, and Africa added in. So now you had basically everything but Asia.
And added the entire idea of, like, here's your base campaign, which was called the Eye of the Vortex.
Which is a terrible campaign, but...
not the greatest campaign, but it had, like, an entire, like, ritual mechanic that you had to do this thing, and you had to compete against the other factions that are trying to do the thing. And, like, it added another layer that wasn't just, like, go kill and take over every area. Good job. War.
Yeah, it was your campaign goal that was more unified for the starting ones.
Yeah.
And that is where we got Mortal Empires added in. It came after the fact, and that was where they linked everything you own in Warhammer 1 is playable in Warhammer 2 in Mortal Empires, which is a big sewn together map of all of Europe and everything tied in with the rest.
It basically took the campaign, the old world from 1, the campaign, Eye of the Vortex in 2, and put it all as 1 huge giant map with everything available. You get to choose whatever you have access to. Go wild.
And then they added in 2 DLC races, which was Tomb Kings and Vampire Coasts.
Very strong contenders for being fun.
Probably 2 of my favorite additions, honestly.
I enjoy the playstyle of Vampire Coast because it's so...
every one of their lords feels unique.
Yeah.
One of them doesn't feel good, but she is unique.
And honestly, at a certain point, and you know, we can go into that further, but the fact that there are multiple legendary lords for each of these factions and that they are unique, like they have different themes and stuff, means that some of them are like really out there. And like oftentimes those are like not strong.
But this gets into the great design things of this is where we got the real spicy stuff of in Lizardmen. Once we got into the DLC section, you got like Nakai, who Lizardmen have a normal campaign. You take over land, you own cities, all that. Nakai is a horde army who just wanders around, beats people up, destroys their stuff, and he plants behind him a vassal that controls stuff on their own, and you're basically protecting their growth. Lore wise, he's like the wandering goody two shoes who shows up and saves the Lizardmen.
And that is one of the things of like there are horde style legendary lords, and by that, those are generally like when they conquer settlements and other territories, they don't take it over and it becomes their settlement that they're gonna like populate and build up. They either do something like the Kai where like they give it to a vassal to do the stuff and then they just reap the benefits, or they like turn it into a sacrifice zone kind of thing, or they just raise it to the fucking ground. There's a bunch of unique things with that, but horde style is very hit or miss if you like it or not kind of thing.
It was mostly miss early on.
Yes.
And there's a lot more hits after they got to later ones.
They tried out a lot of things and eventually figured out some fun ways.
And as we're talking about these, that's another great thing that happened is over these games, they were not afraid to go back to old content they made and freshen it up.
So nice that because it's been a like continuous, like what you have in 1 works in 2, works in 3, meant that like they could have just left all of the shit from like 1 and they just are like, oh, prototype garbage tier, never would use it again in 3 kind of thing. But like they freshened things up and kept it actually part of the game, which again is another one of those like this Total War Warhammer 1, 2, and 3 has been a massive undertaking and kind of shows that like there could be potential for 40K to have something similar, which would be awesome.
Yeah, that also is like a in for how they handle DLCs when we keep saying these.
Yeah.
DLCs are tied to major patches. The patch is free and everyone gets that. Then you can pay for the DLC to get like new content, like a new legendary lord and, you know, two new units that any legendary lord in that faction could use in addition to that one. But they're probably better in that legendary lord's campaign because they tend to be themed around them.
Yeah, and they'll have a, you know, a bunch of buffs that the legendary lord will give them, and you'll be like, okay, yeah, that they're, it's all working together. I get it. There's a theme. But you don't have to buy, like, there's a bunch of DLC that I don't own, and I've put hundreds of hours into each of these games.
Meanwhile, there's me, and I own every DLC, even for factions I never touch, like dwarfs.
Well, and that's the nice thing is, like, at least for me, you get an option of, you know, some base stuff, and you figure out what you like because you play against it kind of thing, and you're like, oh, that would be cool. I want to get that, and then you can get that singular part of the DLC if you want and play it and enjoy your time and, you know, move on kind of thing. Or you can just be like Brad and just buy it all so you don't have to, like, exit out of the game when you have the idea. That would be too much work.
It's easier that way. Anyway, so to speed up, we get Total War Warhammer 3. It came out with the most factions, but actually from a character count, it wasn't that much higher than the others. The other two games started with 8 base legendary lords each. This one started with 11, but it was spread out because they had Demons of Chaos with 1, Grand Cathay had 2, Khorne had 1, Kislev had 2 and a secret unlockable one, Nurgle had 1, Slaanesh had 1, Tzeentch had 1, and Warriors of Chaos had a secret one after you unlocked the Bellicor version after you finished the campaign.
It was weird having unlocks like that. I was not expecting it, but I don't hate it. Like, it's fine.
I don't hate it, but it's kind of weird when explaining to, like, a new person of, like, so these two have to get unlocked. Nothing else ever has to get unlocked, but these two randomly, you need to go grab a save to unlock them if you want them right away, because that's what you want your first campaign to be for some reason.
I did hate the way that they did the Kislev one.
The Kislev one's, like, a weird achievement thing. I had you hand me the save file, because I was busy beating the campaign, and you were like, I just did the Kislev thing. Here's a save file.
If you're just, like, playing to achieve the victory conditions, you probably won't get the unlock. It's, like, do specific things. It's weird. I was not a huge fan of it.
It doesn't help that, like, I don't think we liked Realm of Chaos at all. It's not my favorite campaign.
The Realm of Chaos was the original base campaign, the thing like the Eye of Vortex, and it had, you know, it added all of these things, Asia area, and you were fighting against Chaos's invasion, and so, like, Chaos would just, like, kind of, like, pop up in certain areas, and you'd have to fight them, and then you'd have to go to their, like, subdomains and fight them and do stuff, and then there was, like, a whole end game.
You had to play all 4 Chaos Gods mini games.
Yeah, I enjoyed it 1 or 2 times. I enjoyed it once, and then I was like, all right, I don't really want to play this anymore. And then a little while later, you know, several months down the line, I was, like, kind of irritated with how Total War Warhammer 3 was at, and I was like, I still want to play it. So I played it again as the Realm of Chaos, and was like, that was still kind of fun. I didn't finish it because, like, wow, there's a point where it's not fun.
It's around the 2nd or 3rd god you have to go to their domain for. Usually Tzeentch.
Yeah.
Playing the teleporter game.
You just fucking, you're like, yeah, I can win it. I have enough of, you know, an economy, I have enough territory, I have enough supply, I'm going to crush you in just numbers at the very least. I don't want to do this anymore. Go away. But they still had the full map unlock of the Immortal Empires, and holy shit, is it big.
Yes, and we also got the DLC races of Ogres and Chaos Dwarves, which gets us up to all of the factions we have now. And at this point, between all of the DLCs in Total War Warhammer 2, because they released a lot of them, and the few we've gotten for Total War Warhammer 3 right now, there are well over 50. I'm trying to count.
I wouldn't even count that many. It's a lot. But again, like, you don't have to get any of them if you're not going to play that specific character, faction, or, you know, a legendary lord. There's still a lot from just the base parts. With the Immortal Empires and all of the legendary lords, there's just so much. Like, there's so many ways to play, and the maps are so big that, like, you can play in, you know, South America, and then you can play in Asia, and then you can play in Europe again, and it's, like, completely different. Even if you're trying to play, like, similar styles, the enemies that you're up against are so wildly different and force you to do certain things. It's just, the Immortal Empires is massive, honestly.
So, all of that, which I'm sure Borrelio just trimmed the hell out of and made 15 minutes long, was a 30-minute rant. That is how Total War Warhammer works. So, with all of that out of the way, let's actually talk about the rumored game.
It's probably a good idea to get back on topic, because I could talk about Total War Warhammer 1, 2, and 3 for hours and my thoughts on, you know, the progression and how things have changed. But I think people are here for 40K mostly. So big rumors. Let's talk.
So what Legend said is basically we're looking at 2026-ish next major Total War endeavor, about 10 years long, possibly. So I'm going to use that to be, I'm just going to assume it's going to have the same tried and true layout of 1 DLC for 1, 2 DLC for 2, 3 DLC for 3, and the games will work, making an Immortal Empires equivalent. This seems like the most obvious way to do this. It lets you slowly add in new factions over time and build things up without having too much of an issue. That's generally how we're going to assume this will work when we talk from here on out.
I wouldn't be surprised to see if this, like the first one, does really well. I wouldn't be shocked to see some DLC that's more like the Wood Elves in the original one, where it's like, here's a custom little thing, just as like a, on the fringes of the galaxy, this is what is happening, and it's not really part of the rest of it. I say that just because of the tutorial for Total War Warhammer 3 was like
the micro campaign,
a custom scripted event kind of thing. Like, here's a campaign with a story from start to finish.
That was one of my high points of Warhammer 3, is how good that was as a tutorial.
Yeah.
I was very well versed by that point, but I still had fun going through it. The story was good. The way it set you up to actually, you know, do all of the basic things you should learn how to do in a Total War game was great. Fantastic.
I actually would be interested in something like that for the 40K series, you know, not originally, but, you know, as a DLC or something like that after it's proven to be successful, because having a tutorial actually be fun after you've spent hundreds of hours already learning all the things essentially is honestly an impressive feat. So that would be cool. But I think the expectation is just follow the tried and true tested 1, some DLC, 2 DLC, 3 DLC, put it all together, have an epic story. Good job.
Yeah. And in addition to that, I'm going to probably say the way the map will work, because this is one of the big question marks for me of how they'll handle this. I'm sure this got a lot of discussion internally by the team, if they've decided on this now, is campaign map for 40K is a really hard change from how every historical one works and how Old World works.
Well, yeah, those are a single planet. Though in 3, they did add the subdomain zones of Chaos, so like...
And that's kind of my thought, is I'm going to bet, at least for the first 40K game, the main campaign will take place on one planet with a believable number of factions in a brawl on it.
Yeah.
From the Legend video, the starting factions he got told was Orcs, Space Marines, Chaos. That's all he got told.
I wouldn't be surprised if there's more, but at the same time, I wouldn't be shocked if 3 or maybe 4. That's kind of how it was originally for Total War Warhammer.
Basically, all of them work that way, yeah. If you jam the demons into one, then yeah, it's about the same on all 3 games.
Right. So it wouldn't be shocking to be like, okay, you're not going to have access to literally everything all at once. Here's 4.
So when we're trying to sort these out, because I hate even admitting this, I do have a tier list out because it's the easiest way to sort things between buckets, but I am putting factions in different areas we expect them to show up for our wild guesses to make this entertaining. But I'll slam Orcs, Chaos Space Marines, and Space Marines into Total War 40K 1, although specifically he only said the word Chaos, and we know demons they have all of the models for already.
True.
So I don't know if it'll be more like how Chaos works in Total War Warhammer, where you may have a mix, and it's more like a Chaos in general is here.
It could be. I feel like if they were to do that, it wouldn't be the playable factions. They would just use them as like, here's some enemy type things that are just like existing and being annoying.
Yeah, alternatively, they could make it like a day one DLC type faction. Demons is a weird one to me to talk about, because I'm like, I don't know if it would just be a base faction because it's so easy to port them in, or if you would have them be a day one DLC slash pre-order bonus just to get a freebie extra thing and focus on your actual dev time on your new stuff.
It really does depend on how they're going to do the campaign map, right? Like,
yeah.
If they're going to have it more galactic scale, I think they have to exist in Total War 40K 1 in some way. Demons has to be there if you're going to be at a galactic scale. If you're like focusing on a singular planet or maybe two, I could see them just like existing in fringe kind of callouts thing, but you're not like a focus. It's more of a, oh, there's some chaos stuff happening. You know, CSM is like fighting and then the orcs are just there.
Yeah, I'm just using my businessman head of, I already made Kairos, Scarbrand.
Yeah, we have all these models and they're cool.
The entire lineup for these demons is done. This is free real estate to get numbers jacked up so that people feel better about the price they're paying.
Yeah.
It's not an important faction. Like, if I had to start from scratch, I don't think demons shows up that early in this. I just think it's going to show up early because it's so free. But I'll put them as like the day one DLC thing, and I'm going to bet there is a fourth starting faction just because I expect they'll want it to be, that should be the start of 11th edition, right?
Right.
Either they'll do the GW thing and it'll be Tyranids because this was planned out 3 years ago.
Yes.
Or the intelligent thing would be plan out whatever you're doing in 11th, you line it up with this so it's all big one thing, but that's a lot of faith and I don't have that in the British.
Given that Total War Warhammer was the old world as they fucking nuked it.
The greatest blunders. So I'm gonna go with Tyranids as the fourth race, just throwing it out there.
I like that. That would be very cool. I just don't know, like, Tyranids on the business side of things, again thinking of how much effort it's gonna be, Tyranids is a lot of development work.
That being said, it'll be in the general nerd zeitgeist if next year you have a really good launch of Space Marine 2 and you have 3 years of people hyping it up as an intro faction leading into this.
And we've also had some recent success with Helldivers.
Yes, another great one to point to.
Which does, like, this is about the time that things are gonna be solidified for these factions. So, like, oh, hey, that worked out really well. People really want more of it.
So, the first three are locked. I'm gonna say Tyranids is fourth, and I'll say they throw in a day one DLC Chaos Demons because they've got the models.
Yeah, that's fair.
And then there will probably be, like, two more, three more DLC races over the course of it.
I think they'll do more Space Marine chapter type stuff as the first DLCs.
That's one of the questions, is how will they handle Space Marines? Are they going to do chapters or are they going to do Space Marine and there will just be like 12 options by the end of the third game in it?
It's possible that they won't have the foresight, but like, you have to split it up, right?
You might get called out for splitting it up when people realize that it's 99% the same thing.
Yeah.
It's just this one gets one unique unit where it's a guy riding a dog.
Right, I see what you're saying.
As opposed to just making Space Wolves a DLC where you get all of Space Marine stuff and just a guy riding a dog.
They did run into a bit of that with the Chaos in Total War 3 where, like, they split things up a lot and it was like, really, bro? I see what you're saying.
So, I don't know. Especially when it gets to Codex compliant chapters, I'm going to bet if you are not a Codex supplement thing, you are just part of Space Marines.
Yep.
And you'll be lucky if there's an Iron Hands Legendary Lord.
Yeah.
Who will probably be a DLC in game 3 if it exists.
I would say most likely it's gonna be Space Marines is like the majority, and then they'll have like, here's the Space Wolves, and that'll be two.
My guess is going to be Space Marines will start with Gilliman as a legendary lord and somebody else.
Maybe the Lion?
No. My bet is going to be the Lion will be a lineup for Total War 2.
Or a DLC.
Yeah. But my thought is you use him as the way to get a spaceman on the cover for Total War 2.
Yeah.
Just from a marketing standpoint.
I mean, Gilman's a safe bet for the first one, right?
He'll be there. Abaddon will be there. We're going basic. Gaz will be there and some random Tyranid.
Oh my God. I like
the Swarm Lord and they'll do like a Lictor or something, like Death Leaper as the second one. That'll be the two Tyranid choices. And then they'll get like Old One Eye as a DLC sometime during Total War Warhammer 2.
Old One Eye has to be in there at some point.
Yeah. It'll be a later thing. And then they'll do like three will get like the Red Terror or something like real low tier no one remembers.
Yeah.
And that'll be the entire Tyranid range over the course of three games.
I mean, honestly, we might actually get some lore out of it.
Maybe, just to force it.
The developers are just going to be like, guess what? We have to have something. If you're not going to make it, we'll do it. Because they've done that to some stuff.
Vampire Coast is the famous example of like, it existed as like a memo.
Yeah.
And they were like, we want to make this a whole faction, can we? And GW wasn't really paying attention. They were like, yeah, whatever. And then they accidentally wrote Shakespeare.
Yeah.
And then GW has been pissed off for the last how many years because everyone keeps asking, when are we getting vampires added to any of these fantasy games? Because
it's so fucking cool. I'm like, I'm on board. Like, give them the ability to do Tyranid shit. Let's see what they can cook up because it can't be any worse than nothing.
So we've got our selection for one. Who are we thinking DLC-wise shows up? I think AdMech's too big of a thing to just be a little DLC. Sisters, to me, screams DLC.
Sisters make sense as a DLC. If it not, then it's going to be base in 2.
Possibly, yeah. Okay, let's do base first in 2. Let's think about that. Okay, easiest entry. If we look at Total War Warhammer 2 was Light Elves, Dark Elves, Eldar, Drukhari.
Yep.
Tons of the same skeleton you're dealing with for your models and stuff.
Absolute slam dunk. There's enough contention between the two that like you can put together the base campaign to do some stuff with some unique mechanics. And then, yeah, there's plenty for those to be like the primary. But like you have to have more than that.
Then they did Lizardmen and Skaven, which is two like famous, beloved other big names. I'm going to bet one of them is Necrons, just because it's like the other giant Xeno in the room that like is popular and has a huge range to play with and is like DLC city. Think of all the named Necron characters you can print DLC for.
I feel like Tyranids and Necrons are going to be base. I just don't know. Like one of them's 1 and one of them's 2.
True.
Whichever one's not in 1 is going to be base 2.
My guess will be... So Guard has to show up. Everyone loves Guard, but Guard is a shitload of work.
I disagree. They're going to be working on a World War 1 Total War.
Sure.
So they can grab a bunch of things that are like, here's your infantry unit, and then we'll specialize them a little bit.
My problem isn't Krieg, right? Which I know is what you're pointing at.
Yeah.
My problem is your average Guard fanboy is going to go, where's my Steel Legion? Where's my Vestroians? Where's my Hootie Hookadoos? And it's going to be, each one is like, now I need to make an entire army skinned as a bunch of Russians. Now I need my entire army skinned as Dwight Eisenhower. Now I need my entire army skinned as World War One guys in gas masks. Now I need my entire... Every time you click a different legendary lord. That's psychotic. From a design standpoint, that ain't it, Chief. I do not want to be assigned this task.
Yeah, worse than Space Marines.
Space Marines, you just color the model different.
Yeah, I think you can take the hard stance of in the base, you get one of them.
Shows up as a DLC like Cadia gets.
Yeah.
DLC faction, you get 2 Cadian commanders like Krieg and Ursula or something. Or that's the other thing for people who are wondering about like time frame. Like, what about beloved dead characters? You can totally have them because they did not give a shit about the timeline in Total War Warhammer. You've got people who died 500 years before other people in the timeline. They can fight each other. It's okay.
You gotta remember, when it comes to Total War games, a lot of it is a what-if scenario.
Yeah.
From the way old games that were historical. It's all like, what if this was against that? It doesn't matter if that was ever even remotely possible or if they were in the same area or the same time. Doesn't fucking matter. What if this against that? There's no way that time frames mean anything.
So we probably want to do Dark Angels to have Lion, right? As we said earlier.
Yeah.
You want him on the cover, I think. And I'm going to say 3 will be far enough in the future. We're talking like 2030s, legitimately.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to say Space Wolves with, everyone knows the next loyalist to show up is going to be Russ because he's like the next interesting one. So I'm going to say Space Wolves is a lock for 3 then if we're trying to get a Space Marine on each cover.
Yeah. And I don't think that they're going to do the same timeline. Like Total War Warhammer 1 and 2 was like a year apart.
Mm-hmm.
And then 3 was a couple years. I think they're going to try and space it out more.
There's just more content to work with.
Yeah. I think that they're going to have the plan of like, we're going to do 3 of them. Whereas I'm not sure that was baked in when they released the original one. But yeah, if that is true, that's a good call out for the third base Space Marine.
Yeah. So that'll be 2's lineup then, I bet. And then 3's lineup will probably include Space Wolves. I'm going to say AdMech. They're a very major one. They probably won't be they might be a DLC for 2 just because they'll be such a great one to fight Necrons.
It could be.
And like Tomb Kings was a DLC and is legendary.
Yeah, that actually would work out as like a big one of 2, but then like 3 completes with like another legendary lord that's like, okay, you got everything now. Go for it.
Yeah, so 3 Space Wolves, like Tau is a major faction.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we're probably looking at getting into some of the weirder factions in this one.
I wonder if Gene Stealers shows up there or if it's going to be a DLC.
I feel like Gene Stealers is an easy one to make a smaller DLC after you make Guard.
Yeah, okay.
So I feel like that shows up somewhere as a DLC. I don't know which game, 2 or 3. Like, it may be a very low tier 3 one where they don't really care.
Yeah.
Votann needs to show up somewhere, so let's give them 3 and maybe they've got a whole range by then, or they're a DLC.
They're a DLC.
Do you think they are a DLC in 1 to get dwarves early?
Actually, that would work out.
And then
out
you start off 2 with elves and you have all your fantasy trope races right there.
Exactly. And you hit, like, expectations, achieved, here you go.
And we're still talking like 2027 for this, so God, I hope they have a range by then. They may even have 2 characters to be legendary lords.
If not, I feel like they're gonna make it up anyways.
Then I assume Chaos and Imperial Knights show up together as a DLC. They're not important enough to be a mainline entry. They're going to be together.
I don't know if they're going to be in the games.
No, they will be. They're too easy and flashy.
They're going to be so fucking difficult to put into the battle mode. The actual, like, battle maps. There's going to be several people that try and kill themselves because of dealing with that shit.
Hey, that's no different than tabletop. They'll still exist. I'm going to go with DLC for 2, and we go very tech-oriented. Necrons, AdMech, Knights.
Yeah, I mean, that's a solid spot to put them.
You've got your alternative programming of Light Elves, Dark Elves, and Space Marine, but brooding.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking. Yeah, yeah.
2 looks ideal after 1 right now, looking at the current list I've got. I expect we will get all the Mono God factions sprinkled in. Like, they may all be in 3 or DLCs.
Yeah.
But they'll probably get sprinkled in over time, I would bet, rather than try to jam them all into a lineup at a base game like they tried with Total War Warhammer 3.
I think that there's no real reason that they need to do it. They've got CSM to, like, here's Chaos, here's Chaos Demons.
Death Guard is one of the final DLCs for the first game. Morty has a whole thing with Gilliman. It's right. Probably the easiest one. Mortarian, a bunch of siege weapons, and Marines, but stinky and corrupt is like it. That's not bad.
That's true. I mean, to be fair though, like, their tanks and stuff are going to be a decent amount of work, but I think it's a reasonable DLC. It's not so much that it's going to be like, holy shit, how did you make a DLC out of that?
I feel like Sister shows up as 3's main Imperium thing. It might be too late in the series to put Sisters this late.
That's so tough, isn't it? Because, like, a lot of other 40K games have Sisters as, like,
one of the main factions.
Yeah, Sisters is what you got.
But you definitely want more variety at the launch lineup than Space Marines and Sisters as 2 of the 4.
Yeah, and just given how the battle maps are going to be Sisters, I feel like it's going to be a fucking problem for siege battles.
Sisters has the really fun one of you totally add Celestine as a DLC one. You get some famous Sisters characters for your main ones. You make her the DLC faction and have her play almost exactly like Nekai.
Her Legendary Lord thing is going to be very unique. It has to be.
It'll be that Horde, but you're like the Horde trying to protect everyone else of your faction.
And then you let, like, somebody else deal with all the other, like...
Or an Oxyodl campaign. So Oxyodl teleports around and fights Chaos.
Ooh, I like that. That would be fun with the Celestine style.
That's actually great.
That would be really fun, actually. I would get that DLC.
I feel like Sisters is wrong in 3, but I'm leaving them here. If we sat here for like 20 hours, I think Sisters moves up somewhere like Total War Warhammer 2's base lineup. You move Dark Angels off and you just pray people won't care there's not a Space Marine on the cover.
I don't see them doing that. I would feel... That would be correct. That would be perfectly fine for me. I don't see GW allowing that kind of shit, right? Like, you can't release a 40K game without Space Marines.
There needs to be a tin can on the cover.
Yeah.
I almost feel like you could say Sisters is 2, and you have both Russ and Lion showing up as 3's lineup.
That would be a big, hey, look at what we're adding to 3 kind of thing. Like, these two big characters are coming.
And you definitely sprinkle a Primarch somewhere into 2, probably Magnus or Angron.
Yeah, it's probably a good idea to have 2 be the let's focus on enemy type things.
Yeah, so 2 DLC, one of those 2, I'll just throw Thousand Suns there, and then you throw Angron in DLC in 3 then.
He could work in DLC for 2 if they do something that's like, the first one is setting up, orcs are invading this or whatever, and you know, like, here's the setup for the Imperium and the Galactic at large, and then 2 is like, oh shit, everybody else is still here and the Imperium is not just like the one to be all kind of thing. There's some like serious bad shit going on.
If you do Guard as a DLC in 1, Yarik is a clear winner.
Hell yeah.
Because Gaz is going to be in the game.
Oh my god.
If Orcs is a startup one, then you get Gaz and Yarik. Then in 3, we add Angron, so that then we can play out the revenge fantasy for those people of Gaz getting to kill Angron because he killed Yarik in the lore.
Yeah, I like that.
That's kind of cute. Grey Knights shows up somewhere. Again, like I said with Demons, they're not important, but they are beloved.
It's a DLC.
Yeah, DLC somewhere, probably 3. Custodes have to show up somewhere. Oh, this is the rough one. Custodes is like... like, if we get the 40K show the year the first game comes out, I almost feel like they have to appear as DLC in the first game, or a selling point for two.
Selling point for two, and you just have a larger starting roster.
Yeah. All right, we'll have them as two as an extra faction then.
That one's tough. Three feels way too late, right? They could probably work as a DLC.
Or we just add them in at three's launch.
And it's like, here's the Imperium.
Well, you have Tau there. You probably make Gene Stealers part of it then for the launch lineup.
Sure.
We do Lion early, because someone's going to be technically like the free DLC that leads in.
Yeah.
So you could do like Lion early as the one that leads in. Russ is in the lineup.
Okay.
Somewhere in here, we're getting Blood Angels. Almost certainly just DLC for Dante and Mephiston as leads. Maybe you get a Flesh Tear or two later down the road as an extra DLC. Because a lot of these are when the faction shows up, and then they get DLCs after that. Since I guess we haven't mentioned that part of, like, this won't be the end of that faction. You'll get DLC sprinkled in for the rest of time.
And updates. It's one of those, like, there's been a lot of updates to factions and lords from the first Total War Warhammer until the point that we're at now with Warhammer 3. Like, there's been a lot of updates. They have actually done stuff. Not to every single one of them. There's still some that are a little lacking, but there's new stuff and fixes that come out all the time.
I'm going to say DLC for one, because they are beloved characters who require very little work.
Sure.
They're a cheap and easy plus one to the roster for Blood Angels.
Yeah.
Slap Dante and Mephiston in there, give them their like three unique units that aren't characters, and then you can just print a new legendary lord every time you've got like a down quarter. Instant cash. You make your Flesh Terror one, you make your Lamenter one for the memes in three.
The more I'm thinking about it, that Knights are probably the third DLC.
Oh, DLC all the way in three.
Yeah.
Just end of the game type thing. Okay, I could believe that.
They can actually just do whatever without having to worry about like, how do we port it into the next game.
Yeah, you'll already have people running around with Magnus and Angron as legendary lords. And
yeah, and it will be a lot easier to be like, okay, these kind of fit into what you have access to of, you know, all the Primarchs and all the other shit.
And then all we've got left in the list at this point is Emperor's Children, some point, probably a DLC in two or whatever, or three.
Yeah, it depends on when it actually comes out in tabletop.
I'm gonna call it right now, instead of Death Watch, they will absolutely make it be the Inquisition in whole, because there's so many Inquisition type things they could add in.
Yeah.
And that'll be a DLC somewhere, probably two, three, whatever, I don't know. And then Black Templars is another, like, you literally just need the Legendary Lords, a reskin, and like two units made, instant plus one to the roster. It might even be in one, like with Blood Angels same day type deal, because it's so small, or you just throw it into two to bump your numbers there. Maybe you just save it for three, because it seems like we're going for a very dark tone in three, end of the world. I don't know.
I think them and Blood Angels are like wherever you feel like having development time to put it in, whatever.
And this is the, like, you're getting these as whole factions. It is entirely possible they just throw 20 legendary lords into Space Marines. And these just count as Space Marines. They're never a plus one to a faction. They're just a normal DLC where you add in Dante versus Old One Eye or something, right? So you do that, and that might just be a Space Marine plus one DLC.
I think that that could actually work if they made the legendary lord has a more fleshed out unique mechanic kind of thing, like,
yeah,
you know, some of the legendary lords, like Grom the Paunch, has a massive thing going on with like his
yeah. I get what you're saying, and that's more Primarch level leader. Probably. Of a chapter level type deal to me, like if you had an Iron Hands campaign, it's going to feel like when they added Ikkit Claw to Skaven and you unlock the tech portion, and like you had like two vehicles before this. Now you have like triple that number, and his entire faction mechanic is, when you're playing as him, you're building up the garage or whatever the fuck they make it, right?
Yeah, where it's like, here's like massive custom mechanic that like dictates a lot of what you're doing in the campaign and focuses on what, you know, that legendary lord's trying to do. That would totally be doable. But yeah, this seems like honestly a pretty solid breakdown.
I could go into detail of like thoughts on how I would do faction mechanics. Orcs, you could just copy paste the WoW.
I like that orcs are one of the expected starting ones, because you get to focus on maybe just the boys in one, and then you add the more of the mechanics in two, and then you had Squigs in 3 or something like that. And, you know, like, there's still a lot to be added to them as you go through, which I think is something that does matter, because you don't want to have one of your primary factions be like, all right, we gave you, you know, your 3 or 4 legendary lords and one and some DLC and maybe an extra on 2. And now you're not getting shit because we don't have anything else.
Yeah. Also, I don't even think early on I finished my thought of like the campaign map.
Yeah.
I do think it starts off with campaign on a planet, you know, wherever we end up throwing them. Armageddon, who cares? Name a planet that's famous.
Or make a new one. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, yeah. Brawl between 4 factions builds up to like 7-8 by the end of the DLCs. You may be right. They may throw in like an offshoot DLC not on the planet. And then 2, I would not be shocked if we get planet for main campaign and their Mortal Empires equivalent is stars and we get to galactic map scale.
That would be a way to do it, so it's less jarring while still allowing for the galactic 40k. Like, they have to make it at some way, they have to get to galactic levels of campaign map level.
Like, the only way I see it staying planet level is we just throw the ideas out the window of any sort of like canonness.
Yeah,
we just assume going in, like, it's gonna be silly, guys. We all know it's funny that like all 26 factions are fighting on this planet. Put your minds at ease. It's not canon. 5 of these characters died before this one was born. They could keep it at planet scale as long as they go, look, everyone, just shut up and pretend.
Lamau, if they had Terra as the planet.
Oh, you could do that for 3 and have it be like apocalypse based. Like a what if scenario of Terra gets invaded by everybody at once.
Yeah, literally everybody.
That's not a terrible idea. But the problem is, like, Terra is actually a very boring map. That's one of the things I worry about with the galactic map, too. You spend a lot of time staring at your overworld, like staring at your equivalent of a civilization map, right? If it is literally just a black starscape with some, you know, supernovas and stuff to make it a little bit of shiny, a nebula in the background, it's gonna get boring quick, which is why I think it has to be planet-based.
I feel like it's just another tier on top, so it would be like you zoom out another level and you've got galactic, and then as you're moving fleets around kind of thing, they show up in a planet of a certain system or whatever, and like each system only has 1 or 2 or something like that, but you know, like Stellaris level zoom out, and then the actual, like, the rest of the campaign is a planet, but you just jump between planets kind of thing.
Oh, okay, so you're kind of thinking like the fast travel nodes 3 has to wrap the map,
and each one would be something like the old world style.
It pops you between the sub maps, so you've got like 10 planets floating in space with like little points to teleport between them.
Yeah,
that's not the worst to do in later DLC, in later games, like to have multiple planets as starting points, but you still can go between them. Okay.
That's like kind of my initial thoughts on it, because it just feels so lame to not have galactic level stuff for 40k. It's doable.
I don't know. The galactic level stuff for 40k is always the weakest part.
It is. That is another thing, similarly, I guess, is auto resolves. They're honestly not at a terrible point right now. So auto resolve being like you fight another army
and you just don't go into RTS mode, which is a fair thing to ask for people who just don't enjoy that part of the game and want to play the better Civ.
And just even more than that, like, there's battles that are like, I have a full late game Doom stack that will fuck up anything, and I'm against.
And you're just rolling over a rebel.
I don't want to waste my 5-10 minutes, whatever it is. I don't want to waste that time. That's not fun. Click button, let's continue to the fun stuff. So, like, you have to have auto resolve. It's just part of Total War. But they're finally at a point that it's not terrible. Having a whole new engine, we'll see how that goes. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what they end up doing, because 40K is going to be a massive deviation from basically anything Total War has done so far.
It also has a pre-existing whiny fan base, which is going to be something CA is going to dread going in. Can you imagine when it's been 6 years of this game coming out and they're still not a Raven Guard Space Marine?
That's true.
It's like, in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't fucking matter. No one gives a shit about the Raven Guard. But like, you're going to have people screeching, how dare you forget whatever that Raven Guard emo kid listening to Green Day or whatever is.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, they've dealt with whiny fan bases and they're going into a World War One.
Oh yeah, that's gonna be the warm-up for if they ever try to do World War One and World War Two nerds. Jesus Christ, when you get to the fucking rivet counters.
Right, so it's one of those, like, I think they're jumping headfirst into it, and it's just gonna, like, they're gonna have to swim. Like, there's no real way around it. But I can see some of the, like, ridiculousness of, oh, I can't believe you haven't added this character yet because it's 40K. Or, like, the old world had some of that, but...
Oh, there's still people who are like, they've got to add so-and-so who had one book in 1992.
Yeah, it didn't seem like that was quite as bad, like, you know, the fact that they didn't have Kislev.
Well, Kislev didn't even really exist as a faction in tabletop. That's where we get into, like, the... They added in Cathay, which didn't exist in tabletop yet. We haven't put in this list Dark Mechanicum, which could totally exist by the time the third game comes out.
Yeah, it could. And, like, honestly, that would be a fine DLC in 3 when you have the knights and all that shit.
It's probably very easy to slap it in there with AdMech, but you get the point of, like, ones that aren't out yet, I can't really estimate.
It would be absolutely amazing if they added some of the, like, out there factions or, like, really fleshed out Tau or something like that, and it's like, GW couldn't do it, so they do it anyways. That'd be fucking awesome. No expectations, but...
Yeah, I have high hopes for it now that I heard the rumor that it was coming via a revamp of the engine to work with World War One level tech.
So, they've been on that engine for 18 years or some fucking insane shit like that. Like, it was, I think, Empire Total War that it was, like, originally put together, and it might have honestly been before. I thought it was Empire because that was one of the, like, medieval to Empire was a pretty big gap, but that was, like, 2009, and they're still using the same engine with some updates and whatever, but, like, this is going to be a pretty big undertaking. I have some concerns, honestly. Like, siege battles and settlement battles have been weak for Total War forever, and they've been honestly worse from Warhammer.
This gets into the engine, though. If we're dealing with World War One, where you have a bunch of city battles, blown out cities, stuff like that, Verdun, all that jazz,
massive trench warfare, and, like, destructible is a thing, has to be.
If we get into that, then I don't think you run into the same issues. And that's why I said, like, now that I know it's going to be like that and be an engine based on World War One, that's exactly what 40K needs anyway.
It needs at least something like that, yeah.
If we're being honest, following the money, it's probably the other way around of, like, we're getting a World War One game because they're making a 40K engine to make a shitload of money off 40K for the next decade. So you get a World War One game, history nerds.
And at the same time, there is a group of developers that want more of the history stuff. Like, they want it to work on those types of things, so...
Yeah, but it's harder because they just don't sell as well as Warhammer has.
Yeah, no, absolutely. All of this is very ambitious. I'm not gonna pre-order 40K until I see a bit more about the actual engine, just because I remember the original release of Empire Total War.
You're not even gonna use Rome 2?
No, Rome 2 was its own...
Disaster. Thing.
But that was, like... a couple years after, and Empire's release was a fucking nightmare. The engine was not done. It was not cooked.
I am sure I am stupid enough to pre-order it, play it day one, and bitch.
Oh, yeah. That's kind of what I'm like. I feel like maybe I just let Brad deal with fucking basically alpha testing it.
Look, at worst, we can use some podcast funds. We'll just not pay Borelio for a week.
There we go.
Borelio, your pay this week. You're going to play Total War Warhammer with us.
Right. We got you a gift. All right. I mean, I think we have to stop this at some point, right? Like, we could continue talking, but...
We can come back and do this whenever there is actual news for us to get a better estimate on things.
Yeah, I'm excited, though. I really am. I mean, I'm excited for any Total War that's coming out.
I hope people enjoyed us rambling about this topic. It's something that's near and dear to our hearts. It's how we got into this hobby. Before we leave for the week, patrons in the audience, there is a poll on Patreon for the Patron Decided episode. Go do your civic duty and vote so that it's your fault when we have a stupid episode.
Wow.
Also, I guess since we're still in the YouTube video, YouTube pleasantries would be much appreciated, as this is kind of a risky episode to make. And also, we have merch at Orchid 8 and all that jazz. There we go. We did everything that was required. Woo. We YouTubered. But that's enough of us. Let's get out of here.
Sounds good.
All right, that does it for us this week. I'm Brad. You can find me on Twitter at Dr. Ruler. You can find Eric
on Twitter at OneQuoteSora.
The show has an email, as always, which is thepoorhammerpodcast@gmail.com. Yes, I owe like 50 people reply emails already, but I'll add you to the list.
Don't forget to take a look at our merch, orgaday.com. There's some cool shirts and hoodies and sweatpants and hats and objective markers soon.
Yes, that's not this week's episode, but I am supposed to announce when it occurs. I know the date that it is supposed to happen.
But we're not actually locking it in until...
until he says that everything showed up.
So that it's not one of those like, yep, it's gonna be here and then, oh, sorry. Wouldn't that be a fun mistake after the original...
Yeah. Anyway, we also have a Patreon where you could help support Borrelio's sick dogs.
Aw, puppy.
You could be joining great patrons in doing so, like Leopard.
We also have producers. They are Brandon Janke, Demolition Man, Dr. Lace, Yon Guy C, Joel Rachels, Mattel, Michael DeLulo, Rock, and the fucking God Emperor of Mankind. Thank you so much for supporting the show.
All right, that does it for us this week. I hope you all enjoyed it. It was really fun to do this. Kind of a relaxing detox session after a couple stressful weeks of getting content out. But I hope you all tune into whatever we're doing next. I guarantee it's something completely different. Until then, have a great time, everyone. Eric, take us out.
So I had that pause after reading Mattel, which I think is how that said. But isn't that like a toy company? Are we being sponsored by a toy company?
I don't think that's how the toy company is spelled.
Oh, darn. I was like, man, we're really moving up in the world. Random toy companies are sponsoring us without asking for anything.
They just know that we hate Hasbro.
They're like, this is just a good investment, guys. Keep them going.